Study 11, Section 5, Christian Fellowship. The Greek words translated fellowship and communion basically describe the state of having something in common. Common union, communion, is related to the word communicate. By reason of knowing and practicing God's ways, we have fellowship with Him and with all others who are doing the same through being in Christ. It is easy to neglect the responsibilities which we have to fellowship with others. Do not forget to do good and to share, that is, fellowship. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. Philippians chapter 1, verse 5 speaks of our fellowship in the gospel. The basis of our fellowship is, therefore, the doctrines and way of life which comprise the true gospel. For this reason, the fellowship enjoyed by true believers is far greater than in any other organization or church. Because of this fellowship, they travel great distances to be with each other and to visit isolated believers. Paul speaks of fellowship of the Spirit, Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, that is, fellowship which is based on our common following of the Spirit or mind of God, as revealed in His Spirit word. One of the greatest expressions of our fellowship is through keeping the breaking of bread service together. The early believers continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers, breaking bread with gladness and simplicity of heart. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and 46. The emblems represent the central pivot of our hope, and sharing them together should bind us together in simplicity of heart. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we, who are many, are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf, that is, Christ. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 16 and 17. We therefore have an obligation to share the emblems of Christ's sacrifice with all those who benefit from His work, who are partakers of that one loaf. John recalls how he shared the gospel of eternal life with others, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 1, verses 2 and 3. This shows that fellowship is based around a common understanding of the true gospel, and that this brings us into fellowship both with other true believers and also with God and Jesus on a personal level. The more we apply the gospel to our lives, seeking to overcome our sinful tendencies, and the deeper we progress in our living of God's word, the deeper our fellowship will be with God and Christ.
Our fellowship with God, Christ, and other believers does not just depend on our common assent to the truths which comprise the one faith. Our way of life must be in accordance with the principles which are expressed in them. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1, verses 5 to 7. Fellowship, therefore, occurs naturally between those who walk in the light. Walking in darkness must refer to a way of life which is constantly and publicly at variance with the light of God's word. Psalm 119, verse 105, Proverbs 4, verse 18. It does not refer to our occasional sins of weakness, for verse 8 continues, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." The truth means God's word. John 17, verse 17, and 3, verse 21, Ephesians 5, verse 13. From this, it should be evident that in practice, meaningful fellowship ceases when a believer starts to teach things or lives a way of life which are openly opposed to clear Bible teaching. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Ephesians 5, verse 11. Every effort should be made to win them back after the pattern of the Good Shepherd seeking the lost sheep. Luke 15, verses 1 to 7. One of the clearest passages concerning fellowship is found in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 to 18. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty.
We have shown how that the Word of God is light. These verses explain why we should not fellowship with religions which teach false things, why we should not marry those who aren't in Christ, and should shun the ways of the world. If we preach God's truth as we should, it is inevitable that communities which believe heresies like the Trinity will themselves exclude us. Doctrine is important because it controls how we live and behave. Therefore, we must be pure in the doctrine if we are to attempt to live a pure life. Our way of life must be worthy of the gospel, a response to the basic gospel we understand and believe. Philippians 1, verse 27. On account of our separation from the world, we have the breathtaking honor of becoming God's very own sons and daughters, part of a worldwide family of others who have this same relationship, our brothers and sisters. There is only one body, that is, one true church, Ephesians 1, verse 23, which is based upon those who hold the one hope, one God, one baptism, and one faith, that is, the one true set of doctrines which comprises the one faith, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. If you have followed these studies carefully, it will be evident by now that there can be no halfway position in our relationship with God. We are either in Christ by baptism into Him or outside of Him. We are either in the light or in darkness. One cannot have a foot in both camps. Our knowledge of these things gives us a certain degree of responsibility towards God. We do not now walk the streets or go about our daily lives like the average woman or man of the world. God is intensely watching for our response. Both He, the Lord Jesus, and all true believers could almost will you to make the right decision. But much as God, Christ, and ourselves will do all we can to help you, even in God's case, to the extent of having given His only Son to die for us, ultimately, your salvation depends upon your own free will decision to grasp hold of the grace of God and the great hope of eternity which has now been offered to you.